see God do some great and glorious and mighty things. And the way we're looking at Nehemiah chapter number 3, we're preaching our way through the gates. There are actually 12 gates to the city of Jerusalem. We understand that. That would have been even so in the days of Nehemiah. But in Nehemiah chapter number 3, it deals with 10 of those 12 gates. And we're preaching through these. And I may preach on the other two when we get done and show you some truths there that we believe the Lord showed us. But we're just kind of going through each of these gates as they're recorded by Nehemiah, beginning at the sheep gate, going counterclockwise. Remember, sheep gate, fish gate. Last week was the old gate. And tonight our text verse is going to be verse number 13. The Bible said, "The valley gate repaired Hanun and the inhabitants of Zenoah. They built it, set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof, and 1,000 cubits on the wall unto the dung gate." Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus, you know we sure do need some help tonight. Thank you for, Lord, this grand and glorious day. How wonderful and how much it's blessed our heart. Lord, already we've been fed spiritually. Lord, we've been stirred, Lord, in the Lord's Supper. Lord, a little while ago, Lord, had just, Lord, stirred our heart. Lord, all over again. And we're so thankful tonight for the Lord Jesus. Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, that He paid the price we could not pay. And that, Lord, He offers, Lord, not just to us 25 years ago, but to all sinners all across the world tonight. He stands ready to forgive and ready to save them. Lord, I pray that'd settle in on somebody's heart tonight. And then now, Lord, as we've been brought this way for this service to this text and this thought, Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, help us take the things that you've shown me and revealed to me in our study. Lord, I pray that it'd be a help and an encouragement and a blessing to somebody's spiritual journey and their walk, Lord, with you, their Christianity. Lord, I pray that, Lord, as we study around the valley gate, Lord, we know they're going to come. Lord, we know there's no way of escaping the valleys, Lord, the valley experiences of life. But Lord, I pray this evening we'd learn what you'd have for us to learn. Lord, we'll thank you and bless you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, we've been looking at Nehemiah chapter number 3, and as we have, we're looking at the spiritual progression of our Christian life through the lens of this chapter as we come now to verse number 13 to this fourth gate known as the Valley Gate. The Valley Gate, we began in verse number 1, the Sheep Gate, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that He has to offer. Amen. It's not a coincidence. That is where Nehemiah begins his record. Amen. None of the other gates really don't matter until you've been by the way of salvation. And so the sheep gate magnified the Lord Jesus Christ as the high priest building the gate, as the shepherd that would lead the sheep there. And then, my friend, preeminently, He is the Lamb of God that has come to pay the price for our sin. Amen. I come across in my study, and one preacher said that the modern day name of that gate is the Lion's Gate. And he said he found it interesting. I found it interesting. Amen. That the Sheep Gate is now the Lion's Gate. Amen. And you can run that reference in the book of Revelation. Amen. When they came and they said, "John, don't be weeping." Amen. The Lamb has been found worthy to open the sealed book. And John said, "I turned to see a lamb," and he didn't see a lamb. He seen the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. And so I'm glad I know the Lion and the Lamb. And so the sheep gate represented salvation. The fish gate, amen, once you're saved, you want to be involved in bringing others. You want to be a fisher of men. And what God has done for you, you want God, you know God can, and you want God, you want to see the Lord do in the lives of others. And so we looked at the matter of bringing men to Christ. And Jesus said, if you'll follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And we preached there out of those verses on the fish gate. Now last week, it was an unusual gate. It's the old gate. And it gave us an opportunity to kind of drop the plow and bust some things upside the head. Amen. In a modern day, in a new age manner of thinking, of men trying to redefine the boundaries and redefine truth. Amen. The old gate represents pretty much truth, and in particular, amen, the unchanging truths of God and His Word. Amen. And so there are some old things that ought to be held on to. Amen. It was the old gate of every city, the old gate, the original gate. That's where the elders would sit down and pass on those ancient truths and those ancient laws. And the way that things had been through the years, pass it on to another generation. Thank God for an old gate in our lives that lead to the old paths. Amen. That bring us into a brand new life. Amen. People are trying to find a new life outside of the old gate and the old paths. Amen. But you'll never find it. You'll never find it without those truths that God has given us in His Word. Amen. And I'm trying to hold back. I don't want to re-preach all that, but I had fun last week preaching it. Amen. There's some things need to be said in these days. Amen. To this generation. And so we come here now to the fourth gate, the Valley Gate. I believe tonight, in considering this Valley Gate, in light of what we've just rehearsed again to you this evening, meant to properly experience the Valley Gate, it is important to have been through the previous three as they strengthen us for what is to come. Amen. The valley, and we understand the valley's going to come. It may have took us 13 verses to find the Valley Gate. Amen. But you had to know the valley was going to come. You see the sheep gate and the fish gate and the old gate there on the high place of the city. Amen. But when this Christian journey and the life we live as God's people, amen, the valley is going to come. Amen. It may take a little while, but you are going to go through some valleys in your Christian experience. Amen. You better make sure you've been the sheep gate. Amen. You better make sure your life is being lived in the command that Christ gave you to follow Him and be a fisher of man. And you better have some old path, old gate truth. Amen. That will sustain you when the journey gets low. Amen. This Valley Gate bears its name. For it is near the lowest point of the city wall. Again, the sheep gate and the fish gate and the old gate, they're in some of the higher elevations of the city of Jerusalem. It don't take a brain scientist and even a theologian. Amen. To understand the Valley Gate must speak about some sort of low point. Amen. And so when we think of a valley, in particular the Valley Gate, this speaks of the lonely places of our spiritual lives. Amen. You ain't always going to stay on the mountaintop. Amen. If I've learned anything being saved 25 years, amen, it ain't all been a mountaintop experience. Amen. The Lord will have you go through some valley times. Amen. But I'm glad David said, yea, though I walk through the valley. Amen. We're not come to stay. We're going through. Amen. And I'm thankful for that this evening. And so the lonely places of our spiritual lives, I believe it's in those lonely places. Amen. I believe it's in the valley experiences that the work of humility begins to have its perfect work in our life. Amen. You say, preacher, why is the Christian life just not made up of mountaintop experiences? Amen. It's because if it did, we wouldn't have been able to walk through the double doors tonight. Amen. Because our head would be filled and swelled up with so much pride. And so the Lord leads us into the valley, amen, that you and I might have that work of humility, amen, involved in our spiritual lives. Amen. About the time time you think, boy, I'm running well, nothing to knock me down, nothing's going to challenge me, I've got this Christian thing all worked out. But Gerald, all of a sudden, here comes the valley gate. Hey, man, and then you find out you not only don't have all the answers, you don't even know all the questions, and that my friend, the Christian life, amen, begins to work in us to humble us down. Hey, amen, I don't want to be too personal tonight, but I remember when I first got saved, it wasn't long the Lord called me to preach, and I thought I could tell everybody, hey, amen, how to live the Christian life. If they just listen to me, hey, amen, they would do just fine. Hey, amen, but you know what happened after a while? Hey, amen, there was some valley experiences that taught me, hey, amen, that Ledbetter don't know everything. Amen. You don't know what you'll do till you're faced with, amen, valley experiences in life. Amen. And so we've come to the valley gate. Amen. We don't like walking through valleys. We don't like the lonely places. We don't like the hard times. Amen. We don't like these seasons of life. But can I say tonight, amen, getting to where we want to go, I have learned it at the valley gate is one of the most important practical gauge, amen, to our spiritual lives. Amen. Me and Sam went out and we was going to go turkey hunting the other day. They've been telling me about all these turkeys they've been hearing down out in Del Rio. Amen. I mean, turkeys here and turkeys there flying out of the roost. Amen. He said, you going to go with me? I said, yeah. Amen. And we're going to go down there where you've been telling me all them turkeys is at, and I'm going to show you how to kill one of them birds. Amen. We got there and he hit a lick on the call. Amen. They wasn't a turkey sounded back nowhere. Amen. We got looking around and we looked up on the map. He said, I think if we go right there, amen, we'll be able to call there and we'll find some turkeys. Amen. We rode down the road, Brother Tim. We took off. Amen. We found this little pig trail running up the side of Del Rio Hill. Amen. It started out about like this the further we went. Amen. That thing got up about like that. Amen. And about halfway up, I could have strangled him and myself. Amen. Climbing up the side of that thing. Amen. But you know what I learned? You know what I observed doing that? Amen. Down there where we started in the valley. Amen. There's a lot of green. There's a lot of growth. There's a lot of, amen, just a lot of things seem to be thriving. Amen. We look up there at the top where we was trying to get to before he nearly killed me. Amen. He said, what is up there? It don't look like anything's up there. Amen. It's cause up there on the mountain things ain't a growing like they do in the valley. Amen. And it's in that valley gate and valley season, amen, that we learn what it is to grow. And I'm getting ahead of myself. Amen. So let me hasten on. The valley gate. I want to give you several what I call practical truths applied to you and I out of this text about the valley gate or the valley experiences of the Christian life. Amen. I begin here tonight in this and one of the other points would be the main part of the message. Amen. But I want to look at the paths at the valley gate. The paths at the valley gate. And when you look at this on a map and study where the location of the valley gate is, you're going to see something I find to be very interesting. And the valley gate itself represents the head of two main valleys. That is, very prominent valleys in the Word of God. Very prominent as they wrap around the city of Jerusalem. You understand, and Jerusalem's a city set on a hill in the valleys. Amen. Spring down from there and wrap themselves around the city of God. And so the valleys are the Valley of Hinnom and the Valley of Kidron. And so Hinnom and Kidron are the paths that come out of and at the valley gate. If you walk out of the city through the valley gate, If you bear to the right going out, it will lead you to the valley Hinnom. If you bear slightly toward the left, it'll lead you down and away from the city through the valley Kidron. Now, in these valleys, in the paths here that are at the valley gate, I see two separate representations, if you will, about the paths we take that get us in the valley experiences. In the valley of Hinnom, I believe we can say, represents the sin-led valley experiences. The sin-led, S-I-N-led valley experiences. A valley of Hinnom is a very interesting study in the Word of God. We won't be able to exhaust it tonight, but I wrote down several illustrations that we can use found throughout the Word of God about the Hinnom representing the sin-led valley experiences of life. Amen. You'll read in 2 Kings 16 and verse number 3. And it is here that Solomon built high places to the god Molech, as he had married all them different women of pagan backgrounds. And they drew his heart away from God. It was in the valley Hinnom. And he erected an altar to the god Molech. Now, several years removed, you'll find Manasseh in 2 Chronicles 33 and in verse number 6. And that Manasseh made his children pass through the very fire, amen, that burned at the altar of Molech that Solomon had raised there in the valley Hinnom. And so we're finding a pattern, Brother Jack. Amen. That what goes on in the valley Hinnom, amen, does not lead a man to God. He's not being led by God or to God. Amen. But he's being led away from God by sin. Amen. And distractions that have been brought into his life. You'll find in the days of Josiah, 2 Kings 23, 10 through 14. And he had spread human bones throughout the entirety of the valley. And thus doing so made it ceremonial unclean. Amen. You could not walk through Hinnom and then immediately run in the house of God into Jerusalem without being purified. And so it speaks to you and I in that illustration, amen, again, of something being unclean and something being defiled. Amen. Something that my friend God is not pleased with. After the city was rebuilt in the days of Nehemiah, amen, shortly thereafter, this valley, or at least part of it, became the trash heap of Jerusalem. And there they would dispose of garbage and filth, and even dead human bodies would be discarded there into the valley of Hinnom. Certain criminals and poor people who cannot afford to be buried, they were thrust into the valley of Hinnom. It was an awful sight. It was a sight of defilement. It was a sight, amen, and a scene that you wouldn't want to go to. Amen. People ain't signing up to have vacations in the valley of Hinnom. Amen. It stinks, and there's a stench and a gloominess and a burden, and just walking through and seeing all of that would be distasteful to the eye. Its place, known as the Valley of Hinnom in the Old Testament, became known as Gehenna in the New Testament. And this is what Christ would use to typify, because that trash heap and those bodies that was thrown there, amen, would be thrown out so profusely and frequently and lit on fire that it said there was enough fuel there that the fire in the days of Christ would never go out. They referenced it simply as down there. Amen. Gehenna, this valley of Hinnom, amen, is what Christ used to speak about, amen, picturing the eternal fires and damnation of hell. Amen. The word Gehenna. So when he would preach on hell, amen, to give the people some sort of illustration, amen, that they could grasp about what hellfire would be, he could point to Gehenna Amen. And say, that is it. Amen. That is where sin is paid for. That is what sin does. It leads away from God. Amen. And leads men down a very broad way. Amen. A very wide gain. But, amen, it always leads downward. Amen. And if you don't get saved, you'll pay for your sin in hell. Amen. And we could preach there. I'm not going to be on salvation much tonight. Amen. Other than to say, amen, you better make sure, my friend, your life is not being lived in sin and led by sin to the point that, amen, you wake up in hellfire one day. Amen. That's a good place to say amen. Amen. All through the Old Testament, we find, amen, this valley represents the sin-led valley experiences. Amen. If you go out the valley gate, you turn rightward, amen, and you're headed westward, amen, it is a type, my friend, of going away from God. Amen, a type, my friend, of erecting idols and altars, and paganism, amen, just simply saying, I don't care what God thinks about my life. Amen, be careful, child of God, you can go through some valley experiences, amen, that are not God leading you there. Amen, they are your own sinful choices and decisions you make that are taking you away from God. Amen, away from the direction that God has set for your life. Amen, how many days have I went through valleys that I brought on myself? Amen, how many valley experiences have you had? Amen, that you brought on yourself. Amen, they are sin-led valley experiences. Amen, our families can get in trouble. Amen, our relationship to God as Solomon's was. Amen, his wives turned his heart away from God. Amen, all that can happen in the valley. Amen, the sin-led valley experiences. Amen, we can become so unclean we can't enjoy the house of God. Amen. We can get to the place in, my friend, our lives are marked by garbage, filth, and deadness. Amen. Because of sin-led valley experiences. Amen. Amen. Hang on. I got a point I'm going to make. Notice with me the paths here, not only the valley of Hinnom, but the valley of Kidron. The valley of Kidron represents tonight the spirit-led valley experiences. Amen. And let me pause for a minute and say, amen, there are no other choices. You're either in a sin-led valley experience or you're in a valley experience that is spirit-led. Amen. Amen. And I dare say we need to be wise, amen, to allow the Lord to reveal to us why we're in the valley experience that we are. Amen. You say, what do you mean a spirit-led valley experience? God led David to use the valley of Kidron to escape the Absalom rebellion. Amen. You see, Absalom wasn't the one in charge. God was the one in charge. Amen. Quit blaming other people for your valley experiences. God's either in control or He's not in control. Amen. And if you're not in sin and your life is, my friend, not going away from Him, then He must be in control. And we see that even in David's life going through the Kidron Valley. King Asa had his own grandmother's pagan items destroyed there. God led that. God directed that at various times. Throughout Israel's history in the Old Testament, pagan images and artifacts would be burned there in the valley of Kidron in an attempt to help cleanse Jerusalem from different sins that was creeping into their worship. I think about the valley of Kidron, probably the greatest illustration or truths we could draw is how many times this valley played an often important role in the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You remember when they showed up to Him and said, Lazarus, thy friend, is sick, and Mary and Martha have requested that you come. And Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, but that the Son of Man might be glorified. Amen. He looked at him a few days later and said, Lazarus is sleeping. And they said, well, if he's sleeping, he does well. Jesus said plainly to them, and Lazarus is dead. And he went and he raised Lazarus from the grave. Amen. It was the valley of Kidron that led him to that place of Bethany. Amen. It was through the valley of Kidron he walked. Amen. When he went to Jerusalem to sit on the colt, and to my friend right into Jerusalem in his triumphal entry, where the people cried hosannas and sang his praises. It was through the valley of Kidron that when the Lord left the upper room with his disciples, he crossed the valley Kidron and entered into the Garden of Gethsemane for Holy Communion with his Heavenly Father. Amen. And so in each of those illustrations, others I'm sure we could use, amen, it all lays this pressing matter upon us. And some of our valley experiences in Kidron, amen, they are Spirit-led. Then God sometimes leads us to a valley so He can do His work in our lives. There are paths. Amen. This valley gate shows us there are paths we can take. And it doesn't matter if you go right or you go left. Amen. You're going to wind up in valley experiences in life. Now, I want to draw your attention to something, and you may have to do some more study on this yourself. Amen. I don't have time to hold a map up and show this to you. Amen. But consider these two valleys in the past, and something very interesting that I noted in my study on a map. In the valley of Hinnom, if you turn right, Brother Tim, and you go in the valley of Hinnom, a sin-led valley experience, here's what you're going to find. When you get down inside of the valley of Hinnom, up on the hill is going to be what is called the Hill of Evil Counsel. And my friend, there in the valley of Hinnom, Hinnom rests betwixt and between the Hill of Evil Counsel and Mount Zion, that is the city of God, the house of God, the place for which represents God's presence, God's voice, God's word, amen, speaking to mankind. And so you're in a valley. You're in the valley of Hinnom, and in the valley, amen, you have the Hill of Evil Counsel. And I don't know that I can explain even all of that. There's a lot of different ideas about what that was, amen, but just the sound and the name it was given, amen, seems to indicate to me, amen, it's got something negative attached behind it. And so when you're in the valley of Hinnom, guess what? Amen. You have one voice, amen, leading you to evil. You have one voice speaking to you, amen, in the valley of Hinnom from the Hill of Evil, amen, evil counsel. But you have God on the other side, amen, that is saying, come back home. Come back home. Amen. All ye that are weary and heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest. And the Hill of Evil counsel says, oh no. Amen. Don't climb that mountain. Don't go up that side. Amen. There is the voice, amen, coming from this valley. And then if you were to turn left, amen, and head southward away from, amen, Jerusalem and to the valley gate, amen, into the valley of Kidron. Again, to your right is going to be the Hill of Evil Counsel. Amen. Ain't it amazing when you're in a valley, amen, the voice of evil that you hear? Amen. Whether you're there sin-led or spirit-led, amen, that voice that comes from the Hill of Evil Counsel, amen, is always there and always beckoning and always whispering in your ear. Amen. But if you look to the left as you come through the valley Kidron, amen, that spirit-led experience, amen, you know where you'll be between not only the Hill of Evil Counsel on the right, amen, but to your left is going to be the King's Garden. Amen. The King's Garden typifies, amen, this is where the King grows His plants. Amen. This is where growth can be attained. Amen. This is where you can thrive. This is where, amen, my plan is being worked in your life. Amen. To grow you into the child of God you need to be. Amen. And I wrote this down. Now, everybody with me. I know you can't see it. Maybe if you got a map in your Bible, you can look at it later. Amen. Either valley, you're betwixt the hill of evil called Chech and Mount Zion, or the king's guarded. Amen. I wrote this down. Brother Jack, I wrote this down. In either valley that we are walking through, these were and are the two voices that are calling out to us.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. That hill of evil counsel, I believe, is representative of the throne of the governor of Persia, who is always a type of the enemy of the Lord. Amen. They're not interested in you knowing God. They're not interested in you growing. They're not interested in you turning around. Amen. And going back to where God is. Amen. They're only interested in evil. What I want you to understand tonight. Amen. In the valley, be careful who you are listening to.
That's right.
Our God is our King. Amen. If you're in a spirit-led valley, don't let the enemy get you sideways. Amen. Don't let them speak fear and discouragement and despondency. Amen. Don't let them take your joy. Amen. Just because you're going through a valley. Amen. Your King, your God, amen, has brought you there to grow you and to cause you to thrive and to be all that He wants you to do. Amen. That hill of evil counsel, though, amen, and try to tell you it ain't worth it. Amen. Look how low you are. Amen. Look how far down you've gone. Look how tough it is in this valley. Amen. Be careful who you listen to in the valley. You said, preacher, I'm in a sin-led valley experience. I'm going through trouble in my family because of my sin. And preacher, I'm all but wore out. My life has been burned. My family is being destroyed. My very heart seems to be so far and distant and cold from my God. May I remind you tonight, amen, God still cries from Mount Zion. He still calls out to you. Amen, return unto me. Repent to me. Amen. Turn around and forsake your evil ways. Amen. I'm glad He stands ready. I'm glad, my friend, He's still speaking. I've been in the sin-led valleys before. I'm not a bragging tonight. Amen. I'm not saying. Amen. That I come out without any scars. But Gerald, I've been in the sin-led valleys. Amen. Where my life had been affected because of my choices. And I'm glad when I found the bottom of that experience, there was still a God in glory who is still calling me home, who is still interested in my life, amen, who can bring me out of even that awful valley. You say, preacher, you don't know how far down I've gone. It matters not to God tonight. Amen. He is able to bring you through. Amen. He can turn your life around. Amen. You've just got to listen to the right voices. Amen. Quit listening to the world. Quit listening to the devil. Amen. Quit listening to your flesh. Amen. They make up the hill of evil counsel. They're not interested in you being with God. They're not interested in you growing. They're not interested in you returning to the Lord. Be careful who you listen to in the valley. I've watched Christians in my friend, amen, were no doubt, amen, in a spirit-led valley, amen, only to end the valley began to listen to their own counsel, amen, and be led astray and drawn astray and miss out on the growth that God had for them, amen, because of the evil counsel they listened to. Be careful who you listen to in the valley. There are paths at the valley gate. Amen. We're doing okay. Amen. Number two, quickly. Amen. Let me say a word real briefly about the panic around the valley gate. There's something very interesting if you'll study the valley gate. Amen. Y'all got your Bibles out now. Look back one chapter in Nehemiah chapter number two. Nehemiah's out. Amen. He's been sent back to Jerusalem. And Brother Larry, he is now interested in seeing the condition the city is in. He slips out, the Bible said, by night. Look with me in verse number 13. Let's follow Nehemiah around. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley. You notice that is the valley gate. Amen. He said, even before the dragon well, notice that phrase, the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. And so he's going to observe the walls. He's going to see, amen, what are we up against? What needs to be repaired? Amen. What's going to have to be built from scratch? Amen. And so to do that, he comes to the valley gate. Now notice what is near the valley gate. He draws our attention to something called and known there as the dragon well. You say, preacher, what in the world is the dragon well? Amen. What is this? Well, amen, Jewish superstition, amen, told the people they believed at this well, which was more of a pool than a well, that it was formed by an underground dragon who had raised up against the city. And he had got agitated and raised up. And in doing so, the city shook. A hole was formed and the well was there. And there were many superstitious Jews that believed that rubbish. Amen. We know there wasn't no such a thing, but that was superstition. Amen. We know that wasn't so. Amen. But that's what they had been told. That's what had been whispered in their ear. Amen. And it had them in fear and in fright. Amen. I thought about this in light of that. You say, preacher, that's just superstition. I know. I know. Amen. That's just what they had come to believe. Amen. They were living in fear of something that was not so.
Amen.
Is that not what our valley experiences do to us? That when we come to the valley experiences some way, amen, somehow, oh, what a picture of Satan is here who tries to prompt us to fear, amen, over our valley experiences. Hey, amen, he's always somewhere kind of, amen, pointing something out, getting you to see things that ain't really there. Amen, and that's just the way the devil works today. Amen, trying to cause fear and panic over the valley experiences of our life. How many of y'all have been through enough valley experiences to know that most of the things we look at as great, big, long, deep, tragic valleys turn out not to be half as bad as we thought? I hate the devil tonight. I despise him. Amen. How many times has he, amen, worked in through my flesh and my mind? Amen. But Tim was talking about the mental aspect of our warfare this morning. Amen. And how the devil does these very things to us. Amen. Creating panic around our valley. Amen. Can I say God is in charge yet? Amen. Even if there is a dragon under the ground. Amen. Even if there is a hole to swallow us up. Amen. God is still in control. Amen. He's the one. I'm about to feel like preaching right here, and I'm about to do it on accident. Brother Larry, he's the one that looked out to Job one day. He said, where were you when I took Leviathan? Amen. By his nose snout. Amen. By the ring in his snout. Amen. Where were you when I led him and dealt with him? Amen. Leviathan would have been some sort of a dragon-like creature, we believe. Amen. Of ancient old and probably. Amen. Probably around in the days of Job, and yet destroyed in the worldwide flood. Amen. God said, dragons don't scare me. Amen. Dragons don't bother me. Amen. Let them breathe their fire. Let them open up holes in the ground. Amen. Our God is still on the throne. Amen. Do not fear your valley, child of God. Amen. Don't allow things that are not in reality, amen, discourage you in your valley experiences.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Is that right? Amen. Boy, that's good preaching right there. I got half of mine sit down and shout myself on. Amen. The panic around the valley gate. Amen. God had not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. Number three, notice the preservation at the valley gate. Go back to our text again. I find it interesting that in this text, the valley gate there, There is the name of an individual and then a name of a group of people that are identified with another individual. And we read of the man Hanan and then the inhabitants of a man by the name of Genoa. Amen, a city called Genoa. And what I find here is that these two men named in this text, they show us the two responses that we have or that we get in our valley experiences. Y'all want this? Hanan. You know what his name means? Oh, this gonna make you smile. This may make you jump up and go, whoa. Hanan means favored.
Amen.
Hanan's name means and implies both mercy and grace.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Preacher, the valley, I've got to go through the valley. I'm in the valley. Thank God tonight in charge of the valley gate. Amen, is mercy and grace. Amen, there is mercy and grace at the valley gate. Amen, whether you're walking out of it into the valley or you're coming back up out of the valley in the valley gate. Amen, there is mercy and there is grace. Amen, you can have the favor of God upon your life. Amen, in the valley. Amen, thank God tonight. Thank God tonight. Amen, there is in this text a protection. Amen, there is a preservation. Amen, that leaps off the page to me tonight. Amen, that in the valley I do not have to be destroyed. I do not have to be... Listen, I don't have to go to the valley never to return again. Amen. There is the favor of God that can be upon our life. Amen. Even in the valley experiences. See, the TBN crowd, they'll tell you, amen, if you're having a bad day and in a bad season and a valley experience of life, and it's a lack of faith, and it is, it has to be something wrong in your life. Amen, it may be a sin-led valley. Amen, sometimes it's a spirit-led valley, and God has put you there, but with that, amen, God has mercy and grace to sustain you through the valley.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Preacher, what about Genoa? Genoa means cast off, rejected, stinking. Amen. What a contrast. What a contrast. You see, I believe that, amen, these are the two ways when we come out of the valley and God is evaluating our lives. Amen, if we will look to Him and allow His Spirit to lead us, if we'll ignore the heel of evil counsel and we'll follow the voice of God and follow His plan and we'll grow, amen, there will be favor. There is, amen, the ability for mercy and grace, even if you are sin-led. Amen, if you will in repentance and faith turn to God, amen, there'll be mercy and grace in Hinnah, amen, to bring you back home, amen. But my friend, if you listen to the hill of evil counsel, no matter what direction you're in, what valley you're in, amen, if you do not pass the test, amen, listen, amen, it'll lead to a stink in your life, amen, it'll lead to a bad smell in your life. And I've been saved long enough to know and been through enough valleys to know, and if failed enough valley experiences to know, God will make you walk it again.
Amen. Amen. Right.
Sometimes again and again and again. Amen. You see, God has provided, amen, God has provided, and with every test and every trial, amen, our God has made a way to escape. Amen, there is mercy and there is grace. Amen, quit trying to make it on your own. Amen, quit trying to make it in your own wisdom. Quit trying to figure it all out. Amen, quit running here and running there and getting yourself in a deeper mess. Amen, turn your eyes to God. Amen, get it on the favor of the Lord, His mercy and grace will preserve you. Amen. Back up a few verses. We hit it a little bit on last week. Amen. But notice the tower of the furnaces in verse 11. Those tower of the furnaces, if you have your map, Amen. If you have your map, amen, that we give you on last week, you'll notice that the Tower of Furnaces is very, very close to the Valley Gate. It's not far at all. In fact, if you'll study the Tower of the Furnaces, you'll find that those that Tower of Furnaces was raised in the days of Uzziah. And it was built in the inferences of the furnaces that there was a lot of baking and a lot of bread that was being made there in the lower part of that at tower, but it was also a lookout point that was near the Valley Gate, and there would be a watchman in the tower. Amen. Hallelujah. There'd be a watchman baking some bread and looking out over the valley. Amen. And when folk were in the valley, when the enemy started to, amen, come in and came and sneaking up on them, amen, Brother Riley, the watchman was in the tower. Amen. And he could call out to them and warn them, amen, about the direction that they were in and the way that the enemy was coming against them. Amen. Oh, can I say tonight, amen, what mercy and grace we have tonight that God would give us men of God. Amen. Men that know how to make some bread. Amen. Men that, my friend, are baking bread waiting on folk. Amen. To come up out of their valley experiences. Amen. To say, I'm about to have a fit. Amen. And is on the tire said, a child of God, beware. Amen. Don't go that way. You're getting close to the fair. You're getting close to the hill of evil counsel. Amen. Directing our lives so that we can be preserved through our valley experiences.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. When you're in a valley, amen, people say, I'm in a valley, and so I'm going to leave the church, and I'm going to kick out, and things just ain't going my way. Amen, can I say that's the last thing you need? Amen, you've got to have a man in the tire who saw you just preaching that because you're the preacher around here. Amen, I could not stand here all night long. Amen, I'd run all the way till the sun come up. How many times my life's been spared? How many times my family's been kept, amen, out of the fire? How many times, amen, the evil counsel, the voice on the hill of evil counsel has been silenced because of men of God that were in the tower and was looking out over the valleys and care for my soul? How many days, amen, they sent me some bread to sustain me in the valley? How many times I come out, amen, and oh, I'm telling you, there is preservation in the valley. Amen. You ain't gonna make it without a preacher.
Right. That's right.
You ain't gonna make it without somebody. So, you preaching all that stuff. All you preachers preach to build your own kingdom. I ain't in no kingdom building business. Amen. I want you to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't have preacher religion. Amen. But I'm telling you, your family and your life, amen, your Christian journey demands, amen, that when you begin to go in the valley, amen, can you imagine being in that valley trying to make your way back home? Amen. To be able, Brother Tim, to look up there in the tower. Amen. And the watchman's in the tower. He's on the wall. Amen. And you can look up there and say, I don't know what to do. Amen. And he can lead you and point you and give direction in your life. You say, preacher, I'm in a sin-led valley experience. Oh, dear God, you need to listen more than anybody. Amen. There is a way back. Amen. Get your eyes on the tower.
Amen.
Amen. It's amazing the word tower and the word pulpit that's only used one time in your King James Bible come from the same Hebrew word.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, dear Lord, God just gave me something. What's that tower called? Tower of Furnaces. Is a pulpit with some fire under it.
Amen.
Amen, that's right. Amen, you know what to get you through the valley. Amen, you don't need one of these soft-spoken little liberal, short-wearing, amen, little limp wrist, won't bust sin open. Amen, kind of preacher. Oh, no, you need a pulpit. Amen, you need a man of God in the tower that's got some fire under it.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's right. I can't get all fat. That's got to get wrote in the notes when I'm preaching the next tithe. Amen. It's amazing how cold pulpits are anymore. Right. Ain't no Amen. Wonder folk can't make it through the valley. Amen. Oh, but give me a man of God. Amen. That's got fire in his bushes. Amen. He may get weary every now and then, try to throw in the towel. Amen. Along the way, here and there. Let it be a man like Jeremiah that said, his word was shut up in me. Amen. In my, like a fire in my bones. Amen. I'm talking about, amen, having a preacher with some fire in him. Amen. Y'all hang on a minute. Amen. Where am I at? Note to self. You'd be amazed how many folk get mad because a preacher with some fire in him.
Right.
But you mark it down. He's only interested in your soul. He's right. only interested in the church making it through the valley. Amen. And I'm telling you, don't you ever get offended by a man of God's got some fire and some passion and some unction. Amen. He's been in the presence of God. He's been baking some bread. Amen. Baking some bread. Amen. Giving something to sustain you through the valley. You say, what are you doing tonight? I'm trying to send some bread somebody's way. Amen. Somebody's in a valley tonight. Amen. Sin's all been wretched. Amen. The hill of evil counsel has discouraged you. Brother Jack, here's your little bread. Maybe it'll help you this week. Just a little bit of bread, Brother A.L. Amen. Eat on another day. God's still on the throne. Mercy and grace. Amen. Is there and you can be preserved through the valley.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Give me them kind. This ain't even in the notes. This is all in the. I'm preaching from the saucer right now, but Joe, amen. Give me that preacher and get up and tell me like it is. Amen. Warn me about the direction I'm going. Amen. The way my family's going. Warn me. Amen. Tell me I've got to have it. I got to have it to make it through the valley. I'm talking about one that'll point you to heaven and say there's enough mercy and grace. Child of God, turn. Amen. Father God. Oh, there's mercy and there's grace is following you.
Amen.
Number four, and I'm done. I'm out of steam. Amen. Notice with me, we've looked at the paths and the panic and the preservation. Let me draw your attention to one more thought. The proximity of the valley gate. It's interesting to me that in this verse, we have the mention of two gates. It is a verse about the valley gate. And then the Lord does something in this text, has Nehemiah do something that is not done in any other part of this chapter. But Tim, he has him identified how far it is from the valley gate to the dung gate. And it's a relatively, in fact, it's probably the shortest part of the wall between gates. Last week, the old gate, the valley gate, I told you that's the longest span. This is the shortest span. It's about 400 to 500 yards apart from each other. Amen. So it's not a large undertaking. The fact that this wall was built, may I say in passing right here, this is not the main point. I'm glad our God takes note of even the smallest things done for His kingdom.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen. And I'll be honest, I want to do big things for God. I don't know that I've ever done anything big. I'd like to do something big for God, but He's a God that even takes note of the small things. Amen. But the proximity, you say, preacher, what does that mean? The proximity of the valley gate. What we're drawn to attention here, this verse being about the valley gate, but because of its closeness to the dung gate, these two are mentioned together in this single verse. And it stumped me like it's stumping you. Sam, here's what God told you, Dad. When you come through the valley, You come, amen, out of the valley and into the valley gate. You know where the valley gets you closest to? The place where you can drop the trash off. Everybody look here. We waste our valley experiences when we don't drop some trash off.
Amen.
When we come out.
Amen. Yes, sir.
We're just satisfied. I'm convinced of this, Brother Joe. We're just satisfied just to come through the valley gate and just breathe a minute. But here's God's design. Every valley is designed to pull something out of your life. Everyone. I've been through some valleys that I am sure I have wasted because I whined my whole way through them. All I wanted was, God, just take the pressure off. God, get me out of this mess. Come on. Oh, I know y'all ain't ever done that. I've been there. And I've wasted them because every valley experience is another opportunity to grow. And you'll never be closer to shedding some things in your life that God wants gone than you are coming through the valley.
Amen.
And we're going to preach on the dung gate here next. Not tonight. I'm letting you go. But can I say, ain't it interesting? They're so close together, it's almost like God's saying, don't waste your valley experience. When you come through it, go right over there, shed them things that I put my finger on while you was in the valley.
Amen.
Amen. I ain't trying to end on a mean note. This is true of myself at times. When's the last time we come through the valley? And when we come out of the valley, we come out a little bit lighter. When's the last time you come out of the valley and you knew God had done such a work in your life and dealt with you specifically about things in your life? You went over the dung gate and you just poured all that bitterness. All that pride. Oh, I could preach all night and maybe never get your thing. But you mark it down, God will lead you to a valley to get rid of some things in your life. What you give up lately? What have you laid down lately? What have you flushed down the drain lately? Come on now, don't waste your valley experiences. God wants to do a work in our life. Heavenly Father, we love you this evening. Thank you for the word of the Lord. Thank you tonight, Lord, for helping me preach. And Lord, I feel like, Lord, you've let us be personal and a help. And Lord, that we've been able to say some things maybe tonight that folk could go home and think on. Lord, I'm thankful this evening, Lord, for what you're showing us here. Lord, we think about those that say Nehemiah 3 has no spiritual significance for us. But Lord, it's like it's all just packaged right there. Lord, step by step, Lord, we want to be right with you. We want to be the child of God you want us to be. Lord, we're not going to do that without valley experiences. Lord, teach us how to make sure they're spirit-led. That, Lord, when they are sin-led, Lord, not to walk too far down in that valley. To turn around and look to mercy and grace, Lord, to help us. Dear God, I pray, Lord, you'd ever put your hand upon this church. Guard us, Lord. We know there'll be valley days to come. Lord, I pray that, Lord, we'd ever look to the tower. Lord, know that, Lord, there's a watchman, Lord, looking out. Lord, trying to help us make our way through the valley. Lord, all that you do for us, we'll thank you. We'll bless you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.